Hello and welcome to Setting Sail, where we talk to CEOs and founders of startups to find out how they were built. The startup system has also been hit by the pandemic, just like every other sector. And in this episode, I speak to Tanul Mishra, founder of Aftonia Lab. Aftonia is an incubator that focuses on mentoring fintech startups. And Tanul speaks about how the coronavirus has impacted fintech startups. Hi and welcome to the show, Tanul.
Thanks, Kirtana. It's great being there.
So let's start talking about how fintechs are being affected by coronavirus. Can you tell us how they are hitting the fintech space and what kind of companies are being affected?
So right now everyone's just about trying to stay afloat and keep their operations going. Fintech is extremely complex as a sector, and there are startups at different stages and different segments. My sense is that startups which are, say, in the lending space will find the going a little tougher. But on the other hand, when you look at startups which are, say, in the payment processing space, you will see that there is a sort of surge that is happening in that segment. Most people who are going out shopping now, instead of using cash, tend to use, say, a Google Pay or their cards for processing. My sense is if you look at it from the investing angle, there would probably be a drop, in the next, 8 to 12 months in high value deals. But I'm right. optimistic when I look at it and say the pre-seed or seed stage may witness a little more interest. I think that one general rule which applies across industry segments and specifically to fintech would be the path to profitability, because fintech has been viewed as a very cash intensive sector.
Right.
So it's going to force founders to look at ways of conserving cash and deploying solutions and gaining customers more intelligently. I feel like, fintechs focusing on B2B, InsurTech segments are more likely to grow.
Okay. Actually, I was going to ask you about how, because of the fact that now online banking and online transaction is going to be more right now because everyone is at home. But at the same time, many consumers are going to now think of buying only the things that are essential to them. So how would it work? How would this surge that you've been talking about for these kind of companies work for them?
So payment touches across, right? So if you're talking payment specific, if you will see that there is a surge in, say, online grocery buying.
Right.
Will that traction continue even after the lockdowns are lifted and the world returns to a little more normalcy? Maybe not. But there will be some amount of conversion and stickiness which will continue, right? So we have to understand that the virus is here to stay till we find alternate ways of dealing with it. But eventually people will travel, people will shop other things other than essentials. That time frame may be longer. There will be lesser spends in certain areas, but it will eventually start picking up. So my sense is the next 12 to 18 months are going to be hard on most segments. Obviously, there will be favorite sectors that will emerge, say, ed tech, health tech, right?
Right.
And I also feel that you will change a way, see a change in how, say, fintech companies are working, right? Mm-hmm. For example, let's look at today. When you look at online stores processing, the biggest problem was that a lot of them could not refund the money to the customers. They would just transfer the money into the prepaid wallets. Now, if you had an alternate payment solutions, which could ensure that, you trigger the transactions and the payments are made on delivery and it's all online and still not cash handling, there's some evolution that you'll see happening there.
I'm sure that you're mentoring a lot of these startups and you might have enough goals that, you've probably set up with each startup. How will they change because of coronavirus?
Right. So the first thing that we did is, so let me give you an idea of the startups that we have. We have a payment processing startup. We have two startups in the wealth management space catering to B2B and B2C segment. And then we have a blockchain-based startup. The first thing that we did when we had this call was, you know, go back to them and talk to them about realigning their goals. Some of them are already in the go-to-market stage and seeking clients. Some are, say, in the compliance stage and waiting for, you know, clearances from various statutory authorities. One is already in business and one's in the concept stage. So we actually help them realign their goals and look at delays and focus on sprucing areas that they need help in. So, you know, one of the key things for most startups is to be able to talk about their businesses in a more effective and engaging fashion. So we help them with a storytelling session that helps them build that piece out. Fortunately for us, two of our startups had just raised monies in the last couple of months. You know, they have a runway for about 8 to 12 months. So right now the focus is on helping them understand that the path to profitability is what we need to focus on. The growth will be slow, but it's going to be there. And we're helping them go after customers and markets that are still functioning.
Okay. And in general, can you talk about how this mentoring has been like?
You know, the interesting thing about our portfolio is, like I was saying, they're not just different sectors, but they're all in different stages. So for each of these startups, we have mentors who are aligned in areas that each of them need help in. So from technology mentors to product mentors, regulatory, fundraising, each of these startups have mentors which are specific and they could have multiple mentors. Even even at this stage, right? So we have one of the startups who is in the wealth management space. And the one thing that you want to be very careful at this stage and, you know, the times that we are in, it's about conserving and increasing your cash flow. So it's about intelligently gaining customers and building your marketing strategy to encompass that goal. So we have aligned the startup with a marketing mentor who is actually helping them evolve their customer acquisition strategy, focusing on these areas. And also relooking at your target markets and saying, hey, let's look at tier one, tier two cities where this seems to be more feasible. This is how you do, and this is how you limit your, you know, CAC. So, you know, we're teaching them how to use cash intelligently. For some of the startups who are in concept stage, we're getting them to go back to their technology mentors and enhancing their product. Also looking at how processes can be built differently. Can, you know, not just tackle the next 6 months, but also the next 24 months and bring these good practices.
Right. And it could be a different learning experience as well for all these startups, right?
I think it's a great learning experience. On the contrary, I think that, you know, any founder who starts a business at this stage or most of the founders who survive this stage and are in early stages or even at some traction stage are going to be a force to reckon with because these are survivors. They're looking at the current situation, thinking how to stay afloat, also thinking of growth and thinking of how you can sort of leverage this to help your business. Right? If you look around how, while, you know, there is bad news across, you know, of people losing jobs, but if you look at the online grocery segment, they're hiring. They're hiring to get more people to deliver, you know, products. So, you know, this is a time, I think, which is going to see a lot of change and change for the good.
Right. And also these startups that have survived this stage would come out even more brightly, right?
Absolutely.
For the next round of funding.
I think so, because, you know, they would have a different instinct. They would have, I think, a different way of running their business, because this is an this is a time that most of us have not seen in the last 100 years, and it's going to force us all to look at things differently. And these founders are going to find problems which are going to address real customer needs. It is also going to give rise to founders who focus more on the bottom line, who know how to use their resources, whether it's cash, whether it is people, whether it is assets, more intelligently.
Right. Tanu, I would like to ask a little bit about you and your journey in Estonia. How has it been for you, and like, where do you see yourself going?
So we started last May, and you know, it. My focus was to work with startups in early stages, and there's some things that I kind of set out to do, you know, differently. One is we don't have a cohort. We onboard startups continuously, as and when we think we can help them, and when, you know, they believe that they can be a part of the program. That's how we keep onboarding them. Our focus has always been to help build startups which focus on sustained and scalable growth models. This comes in both from focusing on the India market as well as the global space. So, you know, our startups who have raised money have raised from global partners also and global angel investors. Most of them have, you know, business partnerships with companies in the US also. So that has been a focus area. So this foundation is going to continue for the next 1 year. But we're now going to start also focusing more aggressively on InsurTech as a segment and credit and fraud risk, credit risk and fraud management solutions.
Okay. And you do you see us branching out?
No, not really. We've created an ecosystem which is conducive to fintech, and we want to stay true to that. The only change I see happening is that, you know, we want to start focusing. So, you know, this, like I was telling you, this time is very, very different. Most of us have not faced it. My sense is that a lot of fintech companies who are in the stage where they're poised for growth will also have to relook at strategies and approaches. And we would look at possibly incubation is not the right term for them. But we would be more than happy to, you know, look at such startups and make them a part of our program. So we can help them, you know, evaluate and see how they can pivot to the next inflection point faster.
Okay. And finally, for all startups in general, do you have like any word of advice for them to, you know, sail through this period?
Yes. Remember, it's not the end of the world. It's a dark, cold winter, but it's going to come to an end at some time. So, you know, this is the time to look at your resources, see what you need to really scale down on. You know, letting go of people should be your last option. Look at ways, can you reduce timing? Can you, you know, give them lesser number of hours? You know, find out how you can relook your rental expenses, dig deep into your contracts, see what clauses you can evoke. So just stay afloat. If you stay afloat for the next 8 to 12 months, you know, it's going to get better.
Right. Thank you so much, Tanu.
Thanks so much, Kirtana. Lovely being.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Setting Sail. If you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.